Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reserve, a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for more for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
What is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. May the Lord bless that reading.
So thank you, Pat, for that reading. We're continuing our series on Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you have a Bible, you can turn it to, it's one of the new Bibles, it's page 1832. We're looking at chapter 3 of Colossians, and we're starting at verse 18, and we're going through to chapter 4, verse 1. There's an outline there if you want to take down some notes, but let me pray first. Father God, as we look at this passage together now, and they are your instructions to...
Created
to
with free version for non-commercial use.
Good instructions that bring good order in relationships. We pray that as we look at each section, that we would take on board what we need to learn and what we need to change in our lives. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we finished up saying that when we believe in our Lord Jesus and we believe in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, it's like, Paul says, it's like our old sinful life is done away with, and we now have a new life in Jesus. And the Apostle Paul last week, he described that in terms of taking off old sinful dirty clothes of our old life and putting on new clean clothes for our new life in Jesus. And with these new
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Paul said God wants us to live a life, this new life, centered on Jesus. And so this week Paul describes what our relationship should look like if our lives are centered on Jesus. Now, our relationships are important. After all, God made us as relational human beings. God created us in his image in Genesis 1 verse 27, and God said it wasn't good for a man to live on his own and be alone. And God created us as relational human beings because God is a social God himself. He lives in community in the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. There's relationships there. And our relationships are meant to be loving ones.
Created with
Why?
Free version for non-commercial use.
1 John 4 verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if God is love, it stands to reason that our relationships should be loving ones. Which is why Jesus himself summarized the Ten Commandments in Mark chapter 12. He summarized them down to two: loving God and loving others. And so our purpose in living, according to Isaiah 43 verse 7, is to bring glory and honor to God. So in our Bible passage today, the Apostle Paul sets out how our relationships should be they are to be loving relationships that bring glory and honour to God. So first he looks at the marriage relationships in verse 18. And
created
19.
With free version for non-commercial use.
So you've got verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now immediately women hear the word submit, they can go into a tailspin, can't they? Am I right? Yeah.
Yes.
But the word submit that does not have anything to do with men being better or smarter than women. All right, so let's clear that up straight away. The Greek word for submit is a military term. So in the army, if we have a captain, it doesn't necessarily mean that the captain has more ability or is braver or of more value than the soldiers. But for the sake of good order in the army, someone has to take the lead. And it's the same in a football team. The captain of a team is not always the best player. But again,
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Someone has to be captain. And that's the way God has designed households. He's put the man in charge of the household. Genesis 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, God could have given Adam another man to help him, or a dog, or a horse, but he gave Adam Eve, a wife, a suitable helper. This doesn't mean Adam is better than Eve, or smarter than Eve, but that they have different roles, the man to lead, the woman to be a suitable helper. And the man is meant to be the head of the household.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he, Jesus, is the Savior. So the husband is the head of the wife. But look at the context of this marriage relationship. It is a picture of the relationship between Jesus and his church, the body of believers. So a husband needs to head up a family like Jesus heads up his church. That's not like a dictator, not bossy, not arrogant, not mean, but in the same way Jesus loved his church. How did Jesus love his church? He laid down his life for his church. He sacrificed himself for his church. He put himself last and his church first. So if the husband loves his wife like that, the wife will have no
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Because the husband will be putting his wife first and himself last. He will be making wise, godly decisions that will have the best interest of the wife at heart. And this will be fitting to the Lord. It will be bringing glory to the Lord and respecting God's wishes for good and loving order in the household. If the husband loves the wife like Jesus loves the church, then the wife will submit and follow the husband to the moon and back. On the other hand, if the husband doesn't love the wife like Jesus loves the church, then the wife will not submit to her husband and won't follow him even to the bus stop. Okay. Now there are some exceptions. If the husband
created with free version for non-commercial use
or abusive, physically or emotionally, the wife doesn't have to accept that or submit to it, and may well have to leave the marriage. And that happens. If the husband cheats, the wife doesn't have to submit to that either. But she may forgive and reconcile, and they may recommit in some cases. If the husband expects the wife to sin, like go and rob a bank, go and steal, go find out something, the wife doesn't have to submit to that either. All these exceptions are not acceptable because they would not be fitting to the Lord. Now, there is another circumstance where the wife may submit to the husband to bring glory to God. For example, if a wife is in a relationship with a husband...
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
1 Peter 3 verse 1 says this, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives." So a believing, faithful wife may lead her unbelieving husband to faith in Jesus by submitting to his headship. Verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Husbands are then told to love their wives and not be harsh with them. The word for love here is the Greek word agape. Norma mentioned that word the other day to me. Agape. The word is the word used to describe...
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
...so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. It's a word used in John 3:16. Agape love is a caring love, concerned for the well-being of the other person without any expectation for anything in return. That's pretty hard. It's sacrificial love. It's a love that keeps on loving no matter what. It's a love that continually practices self-denial. It's a love that at times loves the unlovable. Because if you think about it, our sin makes us unlovable to God. But he loves us anyway and sent Jesus to give us the opportunity to be forgiven, even though we don't deserve it. The Bible calls this undeserved love of God grace. That's agape love, showing grace, undeserved love.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
That's what husbands are to do, show God's agape love to their wives. Tall order, isn't it? The verse also says the husbands are not to be harsh. The word literally means bitter. Excuse me. Don't be angry or hold grudges or look for revenge. That's what it means. Instead, be patient and long-suffering and forgiving. When Heather and I before we got married actually, we had some pre-marriage counselling. And we were put onto this guy who's written lots of books. He's an American guy, he's passed away now sadly. His name's Gary Smalley or Smalley, depending on how you pronounce it.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Anger is to marriage what termites and rot are to trying to rebuild a home. Anger will rot away a marriage. The key to forgiving is to become soft and tender with the person. The first step is to become soft in your mind and your spirit. Lower your voice, relax your facial expressions, and as Proverbs 15 verse 1 suggests, a gentle answer turns away wrath. If someone's angry and you just give a gentle answer, you watch how quickly the anger disappears. If you go and held the leather back, it just makes it worse. There's two brilliant pieces of advice from Gary Smalley. And there's two books. And get them at Kurong, get them at Cornerstone.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
One for husbands, if only he knew, a valuable guide to knowing, understanding, and loving your wife. And for wives, for better or for best, understand your man. Definitely worth a read. So when we put verses 18 and 19 together, the wife will submit to the husband as the head of the household, because the husband is loving her in such a Christ-like manner that she won't be able to help herself but to submit and follow her husband's lead. Challenging? Stunned silence? Stunned challenges for husbands. Are we taking the lead in the family's spiritual life? Initiating prayer times, quiet times, devotions, and Bible study. Having those times.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Or are we abdicating that responsibility to our wives? Husbands, notice there's more challenges for the husbands, by the way. Husbands, are we loving our wives like Jesus loves the church? Sacrificially, agapeo love. Or are we being a bully, or angry, or bitter, or harsh? What corrections are necessary? Confess them to God and repent, and ask for God's help with them. Wives, are we submitting to our husbands as God's good order suggests? Or are we undermining or disrespecting his leadership or criticizing our husbands too much? What corrections are necessary? Confess them to God and repent and ask God to help.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Parent-child relationships. And the context here is children that live in the home. For the children who don't live in the home, grown-up children, don't forget there's still the fifth commandment to honour our father and our mother, which means making sure our parents are okay, checking on them, visiting them, caring for them, and loving and respecting them as the parents that God has given us. But for the children at home, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, there might not be too many children here this morning, but we need to hear these instructions so we know what children should be doing. So obey here means listen to and follow the parents' instructions. Rules are
created with free version for non-commercial use.
God gives us rules to protect us and keep us safe, and for the reason that it pleases the Lord. This is a pattern that God himself establishes in the Trinity. The first person of the Trinity, the Father, exercises authority over the second person of the Trinity, the Son, who submits to the Father's authority. So if Jesus, the Son, always obeys the Father's will, then it's good enough for children to obey their parents. A couple of challenges again. As grown-up children, are we honouring our parents? Do we need to confess something to God and take some corrective action? As children living with our parents, are we obeying our parents?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Our parents because we want to please them. And it shows we love Jesus because it pleases him when we obey our parents. Again, for the children, do we need to confess? Say sorry and take some corrective action. Verse 21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Just as children have a responsibility to obey their parents, fathers, and in fact all parents, have a responsibility to not embitter. And that literally means provoke or stir up your children. Parents can be too harsh, too demanding, too controlling, unforgiving, or just plain angry all the time. This harshness can be in words, in actions.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Not talking to them for days. the silent treatment. I've experienced that, and it's horrible. It's easy for the parent to blame the child's bad behavior, but Paul warns that the parent might actually be provoking or stirring up this bad behavior by the way they're treating the child. And there's a reason given for not provoking our children, and that is that they will become discouraged and feel like giving up. They will start to feel unloved and unsupported and grow up feeling the whole world is against them. As parents, we should remind ourselves of how gracious and gentle and forgiving and long-suffering God is with his children, us. Challenge. Parents and grandparents. And I know a lot of
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Weeks, including myself. Are we discouraging our children by being too tough with our rules? Or constantly finding faults and never praising good behavior? Are we being unreasonable or petty or angry? Next, Paul turns his attention to working relationships, and that's in chapter 3, 22 to chapter 4, verse 1. And he's actually speaking about a slave and master relationship. Because in Paul's day, there were slaves and masters. There was slavery. Now, we don't have slaves in Australia, as far as I know. Except for Paul. So in our context, Paul's talking about work relationships.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Voluntary, and that can probably feel a bit like slavery sometimes. So verse 22. Says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So, if we think in terms of employees, they are to obey their bosses or supervisors out of reverence to the Lord, as he has established a good order in all relationships. And employees are to work just as hard when the boss is not around as they do when he is around. Now remember, God is always watching us. He knows when we're being dishonest or lazy or unreliable. He knows when we're watching the clock and we're not doing our work.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So we have to have the attitude that we're working for the Lord, not for the human employer. I think I mentioned last week, that's how I got through working with bad bosses, terrible bosses. I realized I'm working for the Lord, not for them, and that kept me going. After all, as verse 24 says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So Paul reminds us that as Christians we have an inheritance in heaven to look forward to, eternal life. So that should be a great reason to sincerely serve the Lord in our work out of thankfulness to Jesus for giving us eternal life.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
We're modeling Jesus to our boss or co-workers. So as verse 25 says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. So if we do the wrong thing at work, we shouldn't expect leniency as Christians. Paul is saying we should be more responsible and more accountable, not less. We are Christ ambassadors at work as well as outside of work. Then in verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul turns his attention to employers or bosses. He says, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. It's important for all bosses to be fair, more so for Christian bosses. It's a terrible thing for a boss to be
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Mistreating workers, but for a Christian boss, it's worse. They are supposed to be modeling what Jesus would do. In the context of masters and slavery, Paul is saying there needs to be fairness and not cruelty. Paul's point is that Christian masters and Christian slaves are equal because everyone in Jesus' family are equal. So bosses need to remember that when they deal with their employees. Because at the end of the day, the bosses themselves, they have a head boss in heaven that they're accountable to. Now, for some of us here this morning, we might not be husbands, we might not be wives, nor parents, nor children. And we might not have an employee-boss relationship because we're retired. So,
created with free version for non-commercial use.
But as Christians, we are in God's family, and we have a church family. And so we have people in our church family who are like our mum and dad. I've got a few of them. And we've got people in our church family who are like our children. And we have people who are like our bosses in some of the ministries we're involved in. For example, Jeanette is Sunday school coordinator. Chris, wherever she is musical director. Our elders are spiritual leaders. Our committee of management make decisions about our buildings and finance. And our Presbyterian Women's Association, they have office bearers who are in a position of authority, and so on and so on. Anyone who's a leader of a ministry. These instructions from Paul apply to our church family relationships too.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
So some challenges then in that regard. For people who are like our mum and dad, are we respecting and loving and honouring them? For people who are in authority over us in certain ministries, are we respecting and submitting to their leadership, obeying their instructions? Are we agreeing with them face to face, but behind their back, undermining them? For those volunteering in these ministries, are we working in that ministry for the Lord, serving the Lord, or serving ourselves? And those people who are in authority over us, are we being right and fair in how we treat people under our authority? Remembering we have a master in heaven we are accountable to. So if we follow Paul's instructions for our relationships will be loving ones, pleasing to God.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
To follow Jesus. Let me leave us with Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where Paul says this, in your relationships with one another, that's any relationship we have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was that mindset? Agape, sacrificial love. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's instructions from you to us regarding our relationships. Help us to take on board what we need to learn, what we need to change. Thank you for your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our next hymn before we have the Lord's Supper together is Gathered Lord Around Your Table.
Created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use.